This is Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
JBL Tour Pro 3 earbuds are for those who don't conform to the standard.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get into some touchscreen technology, how about the smart charging case, clear sound? These are not standard things. You're only going to get them with the JBL Tour Pro 3, baby.
And I love the sound of JBL when it goes, boom, boom. These earbuds are packed with innovation because you can't stand out by following others.
Touchscreen smart charging case for one-touch control, instant EQ customization, true adaptive noise canceling, and the one-of-a-kind audio transmitter, which can plug and play with everything from game consoles to in-flight entertainment. What more could you want? First doesn't follow. Grab a pair at JBL.com.
This is live from Londinium. I'm Gaius. Germanicus is here. We're observing the Thames. It's unusually grim tonight. The wind's up. And the boatmen who cross the Thames routinely are sitting on their hands tonight. It's too rough out there. You'd have to really be running from someone with a bigger sword than you've got to risk the Thames tonight. So we're a little chilly here. We've asked the centurions to turn the fire up. And we have a lot to do. We're not going to be able to accomplish it all tonight. It's 28 points. You know, we have our limits. However, we're going to do what we can with 28-point plan to end the Ukrainian disruption. The Kremlin is prevailing. The Kyiv is disappearing. The emperor in Washington has given his ruling. It must happen. Europe, our allies, are going along saying, well, just here, just there, we'll go along with it. But there's more than just success. There's the deep irony of how things are done in the 20th century and now the 21st. Germanicus, 28 points. Let me see. That's 2 times 14, I believe. My math isn't what it could be.
Well, Woodrow Wilson set a precedent that all peace plans have to be multiples of 7. So here we are with, it's twice as long as Wilson's 14 points.
The heart of it for my reading is the territories. Generations will come and go as they have before. Ukraine's been at odds with Moscow for 1,000 years. It will continue. This is another chapter in the contest. This time, however, the territory being ceded is Donbass, roughly speaking. A piece of this, a piece of that. There will be elections. Russia will win the elections. And everything will turn out all right in the end. And it'll be another episode of violence coming to no conclusion. They will be at it again. However, the participation of the emperor is what we care about, because our emperor here, Domitian, seems incapable of rendering a success along the Dacian frontier, along the Danube, and has irritated the Senate to the point that they will soon do away with him. And then we'll have the barrack room emperors, who are very successful, not Nerva, but Hadrian and Trajan. And we'll have a good century. So let's look at the 14 points from Woodrow Wilson's time, and the 28 points from Donald Trump's time. I'm going to concentrate again on the territory, because things like open diplomacy, whoever wants to accept that?
It was open covenants openly arrived at.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. The idea that they celebrated Wilson when he arrived, I think it was Le Havre, on the cruise ship that he traveled across. They celebrated him as if he was Jesus' younger brother. And they accepted everything he had to say. I picture now at the, it was not a chateau, it was a townhouse in Paris they gave Wilson. And there he is on the floor with Clemenceau and, let's see, I think that was just the two of them poring over a map, drawing lines of who's going to get what. Lloyd George might have been there. I don't remember the detail, but it was clearly Clemenceau and Wilson. They had no idea what they were doing. They had experts feeding them. Well, I can imagine the same thing. Steve Witkoff is a real estate developer. He's not, He's not a man who we hold responsible for what went wrong at Versailles. So let's go to what I find, and then we'll hear your entertainment. Evacuation of all Central Powers from Russia and Belgium. Sure, no problem. We'll just rearm and take all of it. Fine. Return of Alsace-Lorraine. Remember that was important in the 20th century? France gets Alsace-Lorraine back. The Tiger Clemenceau wins. Thumbs up. And readjustment of Italian borders. And again, it's a laugh riot. They thought this was serious. And then source sovereignty for Turkish partners of the Ottoman Empire. Ah, the Ottoman Empire. They tore it apart and we're still dealing with the disaster. I think we can all send the IOU to Clemenceau, Wilson, and Talleyrand. And Lloyd George.
Yeah, the Turks are still fighting for Kurdistan, which they want back, and parts of Syria, which they've actually occupied. So it still continues.
It's 111 years. Yeah. The Ottoman Empire is still nonsensically violent. All right. So your measure of the 28, now that we can. We have 100 years or more of opinion of the Versailles Treaty, which was meaningless at the time, but was regarded as a success. And then the rest of the century was the tragedy of tearing it up and violating everything in it. Your measure of the 28 points before we start violating it.
Well, I think Wilson would have been well advised to have included a real estate developer. Rather than getting all these State Department teams that drew all sorts of maps, trying their damnedest to be fair, and then all that being swept away because of the venal needs of the Italians and others, and the desire to punish belligerents like Germany and Hungary and Austria. So there we go. I mean, it was the most unfair drawing of lines ever. And it just, as you said, set up more conflict. This is the 28 points, that is. The 28 points, in contrast, are very pragmatic. And unlike other so-called plans, which focused on a ceasefire and nothing else, this actually deals with the realities on the ground. And the realities on the ground are really dependent on including the most ardent Russian nationalists in Ukraine who are concentrated in Donbas and making sure that they are included with Russia. And over time in the future, I think Ukraine will thank whoever created this cartographic solution, because the last thing Ukraine should want is ardent Russian nationalists within its borders. So in a way, it's a kind of a solution that actually assists both sides. And it meets Russia's bottom line in every regard but one. So, for example, it says all Nazi ideology and activities must be rejected and prohibited. All discriminatory measures guarantee the rights of Ukrainian and Russian media. And in a nice twist, since Ukraine desperately wants to join the EU, it said, Ukraine will adopt EU rules on religious tolerance and the protection of linguistic minorities, which, of course, they, meaning Ukraine, have been abusing ever since the Maidan coup. And so it's going to be hard for Ukraine to say, oh, we want to continue to persecute Russians, when, in fact, they also want to join the EU, which disallows such discrimination. But that's a rabbit hole to go down. The fact is that it pretty much squares everything. The division, the European counter, the so-called 24 points proposal, included I don't know which number it was, but it wanted to turn the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant over to Ukraine, which is a no-go for Russia. But the 28 point proposal splits it 50-50 in terms of the apportioning of power generation by the nuclear plant. It's not a terrible outcome, I think. And, you know, we talk a lot about Ukraine, which really was, before the creation of any kind of Ukrainian state, considered a borderland. And the area of the Zaporizhian Cossacks and other sort of proto-Ukrainians was north of the territories now occupied by Russia. And the territories now occupied by Russia, Donbas is all Russian in its sympathies. You know, many of the people there were put there by Stalin. And the areas in Zaporizhia and Kherson and, of course, Crimea, those were never part of any kind of Ukrainian nation. I mean, they were part of the Khanate of the Crimea, which extended all the way up to about where Russian forces are in Kherson and Zaporizhia. So it doesn't do any disfiguring of historical antecedents either. And in many ways, by guaranteeing a reconstruction and splitting the reconstruction costs between Russia and Europe, it creates a kind of even-handedness there that is also not bad. And it doesn't expropriate all the Russian money that has been frozen. It's pretty even-handed and balanced. The one area that I think Russia will have difficulty with is allowing Ukraine a 600,000-man army, which is sizable. I mean, it's bigger than the Ukrainian active army going into the war in 2022. But it's very hard to enforce restrictions on military capability. The Allies weren't able to really ever do that with Germany. They limited the German army to 7 divisions and 150,000 men, but the reality was circumvented rather cleverly by the Germans. And it ultimately, rearmament happened when the Germans finally, with Hitler's permission, decided to go full bore, and then they rearmed heavily. So 600,000 is not as bad as it looks on paper, in large part because Ukraine has been so depopulated at this point, and it has lost so many men that it will be a generation before it can really grow its army. So it might have 600,000 men on paper, but they'll all be old reservists, basically. The active force will be probably very small. One thing, on the other hand, that is not covered, and that's unfortunate in this document, is the kind of weapons that Ukraine can be supplied with by its friends, the U.S. and NATO. And I don't think Russians want to let that go, because if the U.S. and Europe can start sending long-range missiles into Ukraine, then that will create problems for a lasting agreement. So the ultimate agreement that's arrived at, we'll have to deal with that issue. And finally here, Ukraine is formally disallowed from joining NATO. NATO must agree to that. And that solves that problem insofar as Russia is concerned. And also, I think one of the best parts of the agreement from the standpoint of getting Russian buy-in is that although it does not fully satisfy all of Russia's objectives, it does offer Russia reintegration into the world order and to be a member of the G8 again. And that that's a big deal for Russia. Russia's been surviving economically and actually growing, but that's in large part due to the fact that it's an immobilized or semi-mobilized war economy. And when the war is over, Russia will need to be open to investment, et cetera, et cetera. And this provides that. So it helps to work toward reintegrating Russia, not just in the world order, but also, as stated in the proposal, actually spelling out a U.S.-Russian cooperative endeavors economically, which would be, you know, joint ventures and the like. And that's very good, because that would create a more normal situation in world affairs, and it would help to prevent sliding back into some kind of neo-Cold War. And this has been the great failing of all the pro-Ukrainian war tub-thumpers, is they were literally pushing and continue to push for a forever war, which will turn into a long Cold War. And in that Cold War, the chief losers will be the European members of the EU. And they're, as was once said, cutting off their nose to spite their face. So this agreement really is positive, not simply in that it satisfies most of Russia's, you know, titular objectives in the war, and also allows for Ukraine to survive as a sovereign nation, losing only those areas that didn't want to be a part of it. It's not bad.
Let's play a game. You remind me. I have a war game for you when we come back. It's a paranoid game. It's deeply, deeply, deeply Polish. You'll enjoy it. It's called When Russia Wins. Germanicus and I are in Londinium. This is live. We're dealing with the 28 points that we're given. Maybe 24. By tomorrow morning, it might be 19. We don't know. However, the intention here is to end the immediate crisis. What comes next is, depending upon what capital you're sitting in, Paris or Warsaw or London, is a trigger for the Cold War II, a rearmament of Europe, a building of a force, the end of NATO, Russia giving an endorsement to go farther, all of that in a war game when we come back. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. We're in Londinium with our centurions, who are nodding away because they know the war's not over. I'm Gaius, and this is the Chronicles of Londinium. We don't know the future, but we can certainly guess it won't be peace. I'm John Batchelor.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious to buy chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.